And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The words of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, as he was beginning his departure from the Ephesian elders at Miletum, going on his way in his evangelistic efforts, and he commends them not only to God, but to God's word. And he said, it is the word of his grace which is able to build you up. And this is certainly building up time. We enjoy the opportunity every year that we have of being a part of these lectures, but not only the speaking part, but more especially the listening part, because it is a building up time. It builds us up not only from the things that we're able to hear preached to us from the word of God, but it also builds us up because of the association that we're able to have with those who are living the word of God. The fellowship is precious. The friendships that we develop over the years, and we see people that we have these friendships with just once a year, and it's here, but they're very precious and very valuable and very meaningful to us. And I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to speak on the lectures here. The elders are very gracious to invite me to speak each year, as well as continuing the oversight of our work. And we certainly thank our God for these godly elders and for this this congregation. We appreciate the presence of each of you. We appreciate the Tullers and the good work that they do. And we appreciate those that are involved in seeing to it that this is broadcast live on the Internet. It's a frightening thing to know that this is going out throughout the world. And I told John Schaefer that if he's wanted by the law anywhere in the world, he better wear some sunglasses when he gets up here, because people are going to see him wherever he goes. I have been mentioned last night and this morning that my assignment is the battle for the home, women's role. That's not my assignment. At least that's not what I prepared. I prepared the man's role. The man's role in the home is what I was assigned. And that's what I'm going to speak on, and I hope maybe this is accurate. anyway, Ephesians 5 and verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. It is actually a shameful and disgraceful thing that we would even have to discuss this subject. The subject on the battle for the home, the man's role. Nature itself ought to tell us. Society itself, the way we have lived for centuries, ought to tell us what the role of the individuals in the family actually is. But we have the homosexuals come along that have robbed us of the excellent word gay, and they want man and man and woman marrying. That's a disgusting thing. And then we have the feminists or the feminazis that come along, and they have this idea that the woman is to be the head or beyond equal or whatever in the home, and they've just destroyed in society what society ought to be seeing automatically and just commonsensibly what the role of the individuals are within the family. What a shame it is that we have to discuss this, but we do, because we need to be reminded from time to time of what the roles of various individuals is in these. Paul wrote, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. And that, folks, is a principle that is laid down early in the history of the family of man, and it continues that way. God, Christ, man, woman, that's always the principle all the way through the Bible. And it's no different now. It hasn't changed. God has not changed this at all. You know, it's a proven fact. In fact, it's an observable fact that when every member of the family is doing his or her job, fulfilling their role, that's when the family is the happiest. That's when everything is peaceful. That's when everything is going as it ought to. When the man is doing as he ought to, and the woman is doing as she ought to, and the children are doing as they ought to, that is a functional family. That's when the family is at peace and happy, and life is a joy for them. We ought to be able to see that's exactly what the Bible describes as what God designed the family to be like, every one of them. God never intended for Archie Bunker to be a role model for husbands. He's a tyrant. Never intended for George Jefferson to be a role model for husbands. never intended for Paul Kettle to be a role model for husbands. More like Ward and June Bond, June Cleaver, Ward Bond, Ward and June Cleaver that we see with Leave It to Beaver. That type of family where there's, you know, little problems, but peace and happiness and joy and tranquility that exists within that family. And he did not intend for the wife to have the role that is so degradingly given in the book of Proverbs. You know, we read these sometimes for the little chuckle that we get out of it. But God didn't write us a book of humor. He wrote this in order for us to see the disgusting situation that we have when women and men are not doing as they ought to within the family. Proverbs 21:9 says, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house." I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think that's true. But it's a shame that it has to be written, isn't it? In Proverbs 21:19, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." Proverbs 25 and verse 24, "It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman and in a white house." Proverbs 27 and verse 15, "A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." That's nagging, 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 nagging. And it's not the way that the family is designed to function. I've got a female relative in my family that's like that. And her husband says she can't go out in the summertime because she sunburns her tongue. That's the kind of role that a woman is disgracing herself in. And when the lady of the house is like that, it is extremely difficult for the man to fulfill his role in this functional family. Man has a role in the family from very early on. In fact, man's role actually does not begin as a husband. Man's role in the family begins as a son. Because he comes to manhood in the family as a son, and he is to honor his father and mother. Ephesians 6 and verse 2, it is provide for them when they cannot provide for themselves. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, he is to fulfill the man's role as a son in the family even before the time comes for him to be married. And the reason I want to point this out, and I know that when you look at this, the man's role in the family, that you're looking at it from marriage on. But I wanted to point this out because there are those that when they come to manhood and before they marry, they do not treat their parents as they ought to, and they're not functioning as a child or as a son in the family as they ought. And every time I think about this, I think about a young man. I was maybe 10, 11 years old, and a young man came into our yard out north of Mexico, and we were living out at the edge of town. And he come down there bragging about the fact that he had just beaten up his daddy. And as a result of that, my brother beat him up. I mean, I wasn't a Christian. We weren't raised in Christian household at all. But when I think about this young man beating up his daddy, that is so wrong, folks. That is so terrible. That is so opposed to the way that God would have a son to function in a family. It's just wrong. He begins as a son, and he is to honor his father and his mother. And by the way, Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about honoring your father and your mother, it does not talk about until marriage. It does not talk about until 40 or until 50. It's honor your father and your mother for life. And that's the way we are to function as a child, as a son, in the family. But then you hear I now pronounce you husband and wife. I don't pronounce anybody man and wife because they're already man before they come up there to get married. I pronounce them husband and wife. And when that occurs, it puts a man into a whole new world. He has new blessings. He has new opportunities. And he has new responsibilities. And believe you me, it is a different world after marriage than it was before. It's a wonderful world. I wouldn't change it at all. But it's different. Absolutely different than it was. As the husband, he is the head over his wife, or the husband is the head of the wife. And I remember several years ago, there was a sister in a congregation in the area who had made the comment that when she got married, her husband had said, He was the head of the family. And she told him that, I don't care, you can be head of the family if you want to, as long as you don't interfere in what I want to do. That's not the way it's supposed to be, folks. The man is the head over the family, and he is not so by permission of the wife. He is not appointed as the head by the wife. God has appointed him as the head over the family. And the wife is the one that God has said to submit. She is not the head. We do not live in a matriarchal society. God has never intended that the woman be the head over the family. And in this role, he is to exalt his wife above all others. And the failure to do this has caused so many heartaches and problems. You know that a lot of marriages have been choked to death by apron strings? Of not leaving father and mother and cleaving unto his wife. And when the man leaves father and mother, cleaves to his wife, she is number one in his life. Same way with the wife, he's number one in the life. You know, again, problems arise in families when a wife will say or a husband will say, my kids are first with me. Folks, they got to be second. The wife or the husband has to be first above the kids if the family is going to be functional as God intends for it to be. As a husband, he is to recognize that marriage is a partnership, that they are two that God has joined together. He has made them one, and in this it is a partnership. Judy and I have a wonderful partnership, not only in our marriage, but in the work that we do. And I wouldn't change any aspect of it. But man needs to understand that his wife is his partner. Someone has described the beginning of the man and woman relationship by saying that God did not take a bone from the man's head and make a wife so that she would be over him, did not take a bone from a man's foot to make the wife so that she would be tramped upon, but took a bone from his rib cage and made a wife for him to walk side by side with her. It is a partnership. I remember a black preacher some years ago saying that you young men out there, you need to realize that somewhere out there in the world, if you're not married yet, somewhere out there in the world, you got a rib running around. And you got one rib. And when you find it, you're complete. And some guys think they got a whole rib cage out there. But you got one rib. And then you are complete. The man as a husband is to love his wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Wouldn't this not mean being willing to die for her if necessary? Didn't Jesus die for the church? And aren't we to love our wife as to the same degree that Jesus loved the church? Learning to love the wife informs us that it goes beyond the romantic idea that we had when we married. That there is a love that is not based upon romance. That there is a love that is based upon the agape love that God would have us to have for our spouse. As a husband, he is to honor his wife. You husbands, dwell with them, the wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Any man that would allow a crude, offensive comment to be made about his wife does not deserve to have a wife. I can recall again, and I've never been guilty of this. God is my witness, I've not been guilty of this. But I have worked in society, and even before I became a Christian, I know of times when men would be standing around and discussing their wives from a very disgusting point of view. And I do not understand how any man, even a non-Christian man, a heathen man, a wicked man, how in the world he could ever allow others to make degrading comments about his wife. How could you allow that? Your wife is your special gift from God. You're to honor your wife. She's not your old lady. Now, I tease Judy a lot about various things, but it's always teasing between us. But I would never say these things to other people about her. A man's supposed to honor honor his wife. That is to hold her in high esteem and elevate her, lift her up, treat her as she deserves to be treated, because God gave her to you as your life's partner. Man's role as a husband is extremely important when you consider that he is the partner of his wife, and that he has the responsibility of being the head over the wife, loving his wife, honoring his wife, and all of these things. But man also has a role in the family as a provider. I haven't always felt it right for a woman to work outside the home. But then I encountered the worthy woman of the book of Proverbs, Lydia. And when you consider during war times, if the women didn't work outside the home, we wouldn't have any way of fighting the wars that we do. Women working outside the home has been a very, very important thing for our society at various times. I didn't always believe that. I had changed my mind. Contrary to popular belief, my headaches are not from an overdeveloped brain. Don't come that way. But I had to change my attitude on that. But I have not changed my attitude on the realization that it is the man's responsibility to provide for his family. God gave the man the responsibility of being the breadwinner. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, the scripture says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." The man that will not work is not doing his job as a husband, as a man in the family. It's his job to provide for his family. Now, understand, I'm not talking about those that are in areas where there's high unemployment, cannot find a job, wife can find one, he can't. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking at all about the men that are handicapped and are not able to do as they would desire to do. Not talking about that at all. I'm talking about generically the role of the man in the family. And generically the role of the man in the family is that he is provide for his family. And not just the clothing and the food and the shelter, but everything that is necessary for him and his family to live in society. The man ought to provide the books for the kids at school. The man ought to provide the transportation. The man ought to provide everything that the family needs. That's his job. That's his role. That's his responsibility. That's what God has deemed important for him to do. To make the provisions for the family is what God wants him to do. But then there is man's role also as a father. And we understand that any healthy male can father children. But it takes more than just good health to be a father, because there's more things involved in being a father than just the physical, biological part. The father is to provide the family with spiritual guidance, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Mom is usually better at this than dad is. Moms usually get the job of teaching the kids. And I don't suppose that that's any violation of the man's role if the man is seeing to it that the children have this decent education from mom. But at the same time, when mom is teaching the child and dad is setting the bad example, then he is negating the teaching. It's like the little kid come in one time and come in from Bible class and worship had been with mom, and he come in and dad's sitting there in the easy chair. And as they're coming in, he asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, did you go to Sunday school when you was a kid?" Dad said, "Well, yeah, I went when I was a kid." And he turned to his mom and said, "See, mom, it won't do me any good either." It didn't help him. He's setting a bad example. He's degrading the role of father by doing this. You know, we send the kids. No, take the kids. Take the children. The father has the role of bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In Proverbs 1, verse 8 through 10, the scripture says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thee not." He is fulfilling his job as a father. He is doing here as he ought to be doing, in warning his children about being enticed by those that would entice them to do things they ought not to be doing. He's doing as he ought. He's warning his kids. He's letting them know that there are certain things out there in life that you just don't involve yourself in, that are not safe, that are not spiritually healthy for you. In the second chapter of Proverbs, beginning in verse 1, the writer said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." He's doing as he ought to be doing. He is warning and he is encouraging his children to learn the Word of God and to live the will of God. That's what fathers are supposed to do. Not only to be a Christian and to live as a Christian, but also to instill Christian principles and truths in the hearts and the minds of the children. See to it that they are taught as they ought to. That's part of his role as a father. The man also in the family has a role as a disciplinarian. And I'm certainly not in favor of child abuse. I do not believe that disciplining children is child abuse. And if it goes beyond just discipline into child abuse, then society needs to deal with that because it's criminal. It's beyond what God would have to be done as far as disciplining children is concerned. It's just plain wrong to hurt kids in that fashion. And as I said, I'm not in favor of child abuse, but I am in favor of child discipline. It's my opinion that a lack of discipline is itself child abuse. When you see children that are allowed to do everything that they want to do, and there is no warning, there may be some threats, but never fulfilled in those threats, and a child is allowed to do as she wants to do or as he wants to do, and grow up in that permissive attitude, that is child abuse. They have not been taught discipline as they ought to have been taught. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I remember one lady had said that Parents Magazine was a big help to her in raising her kids. Somebody asked her, "Well, what series of articles was it in Parents Magazine that helped? I'd like to look that up." She said, "It wasn't any series. I just rolled it up and whopped them right good with it." That's the discipline that children deserve to have. We remember Eli's sons and how they were guilty of terrible sins before God, but we also remember that Eli restrained them not. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13. And that's what, we remember that about Eli. And Phinehas and Hophni would have maybe turned out a little differently if they'd been treated differently and disciplined better. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him." Again, in Proverbs 23 verse 13 and 14, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." Children, sometimes you'll think they're going to die when the way they scream and holler. In fact, a lot of times they'll start to scream and holler before you ever lay a hand on them because they know what's coming. But it needs to happen. It needs to happen in a family. It needs to be the father. And I know sometimes they would prefer to have mom. My two grandchildren one time when they lived out here in Blue Springs, they're just little tykes. And they had taken the upper mattress off of the bed and turned it around sideways and tilted it down on the floor and poured water on it, made a water slide. And they got a beating for it. They deserve to have a beating for it. And later on, they realized that, hey, that's a lot of fun. It's worth the beating to get to do that. And so they did it again. And when they got caught this time, remember Sabrina said, "Mama, you spank us this time, will you?" I'd rather have it from Mama because Daddy spanked him right hard for it. There needs to be the discipline. The father needs to because they remember that. Proverbs 29 and verse 17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." Discipline is important, and it's the role of the man in the family. In fact, the man in the family is to be the leader. He's not to be the driver. He is to be the mentor, not to be the tormentor. He is to be the one that individuals in the family can look up to for guidance and to look up to honor and respect and appreciate. In fact, the man who is God's man will do what he can to lead his family to the Lord and ultimately to heaven. That's the man's role in the family. See to it that your wife has the best opportunity of going to heaven that she can get. See to it that your children have the best opportunity of going to heaven that they can get. If you do that, then men, you'll fulfill your role in the family as God would have it to be done. Thank you.